It's all about you this morning. May not see people up here singing just to sing. Would no one in this room hear my voice? Would they not see people up here, Father? Would they focus on you? Would they hear your words this morning, Father? Would nothing that comes out of my mouth be my thoughts, but maybe your thoughts? God, thank you so much for what you've done in 06 for us. God, this church has greatly flourished in 06. And you've blessed us tremendously. Been through some bumps, been through some high times as well, God. And so I thank you for what you've done in 06, God. And I pray that you don't let us get our hands mixed up in the stuff that happens in 07, that you're the proponent of change in 07 for us, that you're the focus of Oasis Church in 07. God, would you do miraculous things through the people of this church? Father, as we leave here and we go be the church in our neighborhoods, in our jobs, in our schools, would you work through our lives, work through the things we say and do, the things that people see and the things that people don't, to draw people towards you, towards a relationship with you? Father, thank you so much for this Christmas, how you've blessed us individually in our lives, the things that we receive from each other, the great time with family and stuff like that. I pray that as we make New Year's resolutions, that our main resolution is to draw closer to you. Father, I love you and praise you and thank you in your name. Amen. All right, guys. The name of my sermon is Life and Death in 07, and it's kind of freaky for me because I had a great year. But before we get into all that, I want to hear how your Christmas was, because I love Christmas. And I want to know who got a really cool gift this year. Did any of you get a really cool Christmas gift this year? Nobody did. Did any? What'd you get? A pocket what?
Cross.
Cool. Who gave it to you? Excellent. What'd you get? A new bass. Bass guitar. Did anyone get that new PlayStation 3? Anyone? Because I want to come over and check it out. How many dads got a tie this year? No ties. My dad got a tie this year, which is like the token gift for dads. Moms, did any of you get bakingware, baking goods? Did any? Some of you did. Are you offended by things like that? Wait, everybody can say that because the people. If I was a woman, I wouldn't want to get. I mean, that's for the family. Anyway, how many of you got a Game Boy or some electronic gaming device or something like that? Some of you did. Okay. How many of you got fruitcake this year? Fruitcake? No. What's that stuff you gave us? Is it fruitcake or nut cake or it's what? Date nut bread. Okay, we got date nut bread. That's the closest we got to fruitcake. Fruitcake I like to throw up in the air and shoot with my shotgun is how I feel about fruitcake. Because I got a shotgun for Christmas. So I'm like, pumped. This like is really cool this year. But anyway, probably most of you are in the Christmas hangover per se. You're done with it. You know, the bills are coming and you're like this big around because of all the cutout cookies you ate. Like me, I ate about 35, I think, when we were up in Williams this week. You're probably in the Christmas hangover. And you're already beginning to think of New Year's because tomorrow is New Year's, right? And probably those things that Pastor Tom talks about, that the day after Christmas, you were done with it. You know, put up the tree, let's not even turn on the lights in the house. Frosty's melted, it's all over. Okay, we're already beginning to get into the new year and you probably already forgot about that stuff, which is fine. But I'm curious to know how many of you made a 2007 or are going to make a 2007 New Year's resolution. Are any of you going to make a resolution this year? Some of you are. Raise your hand if you are. If you already know what you know, I'm not going to ask you. You don't have to tell me. Do you know what your resolution is this year? Only a few of you. So let me ask you a few questions. How many of you feel like you ate too much this year? At Christmas. Okay, so probably one of those resolutions might be that you might, you know, watch what you eat for the next few weeks. How many of you felt like you spend way too much money this Christmas? Okay, more hands. Probably get into the whole, I might need to kind of watch what I'm spending. So some of you are making resolutions, whether you're verbalizing them or not. Okay, you're making a resolution to go back to the gym. Bob and I were workout partners. As soon as Thanksgiving hit, we quit. And so we're going to get back into it right after he gets back from his cruise. And he's on a cruise right now, which is the worst I've heard, because you just eat the whole time. So when he gets back, he really needs to work out. But here's what I'd like to do. I wanted to talk about New Year's resolution, and I'm not going to tell you what mine is until the very end. And I just kind of want to give you a review of 06 for me. 06 was great for me, having little kids and being able to experience some really cool stuff, Brody walking and stuff like that. It's been great. The last 2 months, though, November and December, have been really, they've been okay because of holidays, but there were a couple deaths that really affected me strongly, and that's why I'm talking about life and death in 2007. One of the people that died, you probably know, is Peter Myers. His family was at this church for a long time. He was in our youth group. If you didn't, I'm sorry if you didn't know that, and that's the first you've heard of that, but he died in the early part of November, I think November 9th. And I got a call from Penny right after the mission trip that Peter had died. And it was bad. He was one of the first students that had gone all the way through high school in our small group. And it was bad, but I'll get into that in a little bit. But another death that happened in December, on December 3rd, was a guy named Butch. And he was my good friend, a person that I met in the Border Patrol a lot of years ago. And so I want to talk to you just a little bit about Butch and the things that have come into my life. And maybe you can identify with some of this stuff. I know there have been a lot of other deaths, maybe in your family, even in the Oasis family, a lot of deaths recently. And I want to kind of just, not to bring up bad stuff, but I'm beginning to learn something from Butch's passing away that I just wanted to share with you. I talked to Tom and Bob about it, and they said, you got to talk about this. It's hurting you too much to not talk about it. And so I want to talk to you about Butch and Peter. And let me talk to you about Butch first. I met Butch on February 26th of 1996. We had entered into the Border Patrol service in Tucson, Arizona, and I'm standing in line, and the person right behind me is Butch. And you know how it is when you're in, like, you got that nervous talk when you're in line, you don't necessarily know what's going to happen, and so you start talking to the people around you. You know, maybe you're at the roller coaster that's really scary, and you make friends with the people around you because you're freaked out, and you just start talking. That's what happened to Butch and I. Butch and I couldn't be more opposite. Butch was 35 and I was 20. He was Filipino and I was white boy, okay? He was from L.A. and wore an Armani suit the first day, not a fake JCPenney like I did. An Armani suit, and I had my first JCPenney tie on that day. He drove a 1968 Porsche 911 Carrera Coupe Turbo or something like that, vintage Porsche. And I had a 94 redneck pickup, okay? We were opposites from the very get-go. He was all put together, someone that I don't know how I connected to him. He stood behind me, and we connected. You ever have one of those things that you just connect with someone that just because of weird circumstances? Well, that's what happened with us. Because we were both waiting in line thinking, what did we get ourselves into? Not sure what was about to happen, and so we just started talking. And eventually they sent us off to Georgia, and we go to the academy, and you walk up to the window, and the guy says, do you want a roommate? Who's your roommate? And I looked behind me, and I said, Butch is my roommate. And I didn't ask him, and I found out later that he wanted a single, and I didn't understand that the guy was 20 years old. Okay, it was the first time I was away from home, first real experience. The guy was asking me if I really wanted a roommate, and if I didn't, I could have got a single. Okay, Butch wanted a single. I didn't realize that. I never even asked him. I just said, he's my roommate. So the guy gave us two keys and we left. And he held that over my head every day at the academy after that. Because he and I were opposites. There's no doubt about it. Okay, I'm kind of rude with things that happen in the house. And he was very put together. Just different lifestyles. And so I go up to the counter. Yeah, Butch and I are roommates. And so we go off to our room. And see, Butch came from L.A. and was Filipino and spoke another language. I can't remember what it's called. But I spoke a lot of Spanish. Okay, and so at the Border Patrol Academy, you learn how to drive and shoot, and you learn law, and you learn all kinds of stuff like you would at most law enforcement academies. But the problem with the Border Patrol Academy is you have to learn Spanish as well. And so there's a lot of guys that fell out of that academy because learning a language is difficult for a lot of people. I had learned already a lot of Spanish living here. Obviously, you speak a lot of Spanish if just by living here, you learn a lot. I played soccer at Cibola. I was the only white kid on the team for 3 years of the 4 years I was there. So Mr. Preciado just said everything in Spanish, so I learned it. As the academy started to go on, Butch had to study a lot harder than I did. Praise God, he gave me the ability to just kind of listen and look, and when I take tests, I do well. Butch didn't have that. If any of you, you can't take tests well, you study, 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 and still don't do well on tests? Okay, sorry, Logan, I'm sorry about that. I was the opposite and never really had to study that bad. And so he'd be studying all day long, and I'd be like, Butch, let's go do something. Butch, let's go do something. Butch, let's go do something. And he's like, I got to study. And so he and I, the whole who do you want as your roommate, began to become a problem for us because I just wanted to go play. I was 20 years old, away from the house for the first time in a new city, by the beach kind of, and I just wanted to go have fun. And here's Butch trying to study. And so what happened is I began to get other friends and things like that. And Butch continued to spend the evening studying and talking to his fiance on the phone. And I began to get involved in some other guys' lives and stuff like that. And when, to be honest, when I got into the War Patrol, I thought I was surrounding myself, and I was really naive, to be honest. I thought I was surrounding myself with men of integrity, of honor, that were going to help kind of mentor me. There were men coming from all over the country to do this very prestigious career. And I found out quickly that these men were, I wouldn't say necessarily had great integrity. I'm sorry if you're a Border Patrol agent now. I'm not saying that you don't. But the men that I was around drank a lot. They drank a lot during the week, and they drank really bad on the weekends. And I started getting involved with them. I was only 20, and so we figured out a way to get me into the bars with my government ID because we said you had to be 21 to be a Border Patrol agent. We lied about it and got me into the bars, and so I started going to the bars with them. Started chasing women and stuff like that. And my life, as I went to the War Patrol, I was a good Christian boy that hadn't really done a whole lot of bad stuff. And I quickly got associated with these guys that, I'm not saying they took me down the wrong road because I willingly walked down the wrong road, but I began to live a lifestyle that I knew was wrong. I had a friend named Thad who was the only Christian in my class that I remember, and he and I made a pact, okay? We're both kind of struggling here, but we're going to go to church on Sunday. And so we'd see the little church van come in the academy, and they'd pick us up on Sunday and take us to the Baptist church down the road. And no matter what, we made a pact that we were going to go because we were brought up to go to church. And so I started to struggle through some of this stuff. Thad and I would go to church on Sunday, kind of hungover from the night before. And I'd begin to talk to Butch and say, Butch, you need Jesus. You know, I talked to him about a relationship with God, and he said that he had a relationship with God. And here I am, 20 years old, talking to a 35-year-old guy, okay, about Jesus, and going out and drinking, and getting crazy, and chasing girls, and doing all kinds of stuff. And then I'd go to church on Sunday, and then I'd talk to Butch about Jesus. And it started, see the problem here? It started to kind of not make sense to me. After a while. And then eventually, Thad and I, I turned 21, and then I didn't really have to sneak into a bar, and then I could just go. And then the pack kind of fell out and never really went to church very much anymore. But the further I got down the road of creating my own little hell, my own little drinking, partying life, the further I got away from God, the more that I wanted to tell Butch that he needed God. And I don't know why that was. Sometimes we see ourselves making the mistakes, and we start to try to pick the log out of speck out of our friend's eye when we've got this huge log in our eye. And so I start telling Butch more and more, you need a relationship with Jesus. And I'd go do the stuff. That was when the audio adrenaline was real cool, and so I'd listen to the Christian CDs, and he'd be hearing the Christian CDs, and I read my Bible, and I'd say, dude, you need Jesus. You need to get saved. And he never really responded to me. So the academy ends, and we both go to the same duty station. And Butch and I grow real close because, as many of you men know, when you're in hairy situations with other men, you grow bonds that are tight. Butch and I were in some very scary situations together, from some life and death situations together, and we formed a bond that I thought would never be broken. And I still did the whole partying thing, and I started to go to church. I got involved in Village Meadows Baptist Church in Sierra Vista. And I'd go for two weeks, and I'd say, the guys would go out partying, and I'd say, I'm not going. And they'd say, yeah, right, we'll see you in 2 weeks. I said, no, I'm clean now. I've got Jesus, so I'm ditching you guys. And they'd say, yeah, we'll see you in a couple weeks. And sure enough, I'd be back with them a couple weeks later. And I did this whole roller coaster thing for a few years and still talked to Butch, and he'd see me go through these highs and lows of being like godly and then being party boy. And he'd see me do this stuff. And I wonder, I really wonder if I didn't confuse the issue of Christianity for him. Because there came a time when I got serious about God, and it wasn't not too long after that that Lori and I met. And it was at that point that I had decided, you know, I'm done with that old life. I'm totally done with it. And what I had the opportunity to do was just change my life completely. I moved away. I moved back to Yuma and really changed my life to really decide to follow Christ for the first time with my whole life. And then things happened, and Butch moves to Palm Springs, and I moved to Yuma, and we never see each other again. And I thought that we were going to stay bonded, and I thought that things were going to, that they were going to work out for us, and we were going to stay friends. You all know, like your high school sweetheart, oh yeah, we'll stay friends or whatever. Yeah, that, those things don't always happen. And then I start coming to Oasis, which was West Yuma at the time, and Lori and I get involved in the youth group. Enter Peter Myers. Lori and I think we were probably married already by the time that Peter started coming to our small group. And you see, Peter and I's relationship was a lot different, because by that time I'd changed. I had made a definite U-turn in my life from being party boy to being Mr. Holy Boy, or whatever you want to say. And a lot of the Border Patrol friends of mine would call me and say, "What's up, dude? How you doing down there?" And I'd say, "Yeah, things are good, but I'm not the same." And they'd say, Yeah, right. And they couldn't believe that I was going to church and getting involved in the things that I was. I was leading youth group and stuff like that. And here comes Peter, crazy Peter. Okay, Peter used to stand up on the stage and we'd do skits and he'd go crazy. He was always the life of the party. And I remember being in small group and having intimate conversations with Peter about Jesus and about who he was to him. And I know, as much as anyone else can know, that he had a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, I can't know, but I know as much as anyone else can, because I had the opportunity to talk to him about those things. And at that point in my life, I was walking the talk. I'd tell him about Jesus. I'd say, "Hey, you need to have a relationship with Jesus." "Well, I do, Augie." And those things that I was teaching in a small group, I was backing up with the way I was living my life. I was walking the talk. Whereas before in my life with Butch and my witness with Butch, I was talking, but not walking. And then a few months ago, a few years ago, I hear that Butch has a brain tumor. And he's diagnosed with a horrible brain tumor, and he has to quit work. And it's 2 years ago, and this month, Butch gets a brain tumor. And he can't work anymore, and he becomes basically bedridden. And I called a couple times, and I sent a letter, and I never got a response. And I had just started here, and with the pressures of being a new dad and a new pastor and all those things, I didn't really pursue it, and I kind of forgot about him. We hadn't been friends really for a while. And Peter went off to college and was doing his own thing. And he'd come back home, and I'd talk to him and say, "Hey, what's up?" Lori and I went up and saw him in Flagstaff. But Peter and I kind of fell out as well. He was doing his thing, I'm doing mine. Butch was doing his thing, and I'm doing mine. And then November comes, and we hear about Peter's death. And so a lot of you were there. I know some of you were at this funeral. It was up in Flagstaff. It was cold. It was freezing cold, man. It was crazy. And there was this little tiny room. The service area was probably only about a quarter of this building, the area, right? About a quarter of this very small little room. And there was hundreds of people that came for this funeral to give their respects to Peter and his family. Bunch of young people that showed up. So much. So many people, in fact, that the place couldn't hold us all. And so I decided, I knew Peter. I knew where he was going. I didn't really need to hear all this stuff. I'd heard the stories. I went outside and let other people take my place. And it's freezing cold, and I'm standing out there in the freezing cold, and more kids walk up, and more kids walk up from the college, and more kids walk up. And there's like 30 of us standing outside. Can't hear a word. There's just students there just wanting to be there. And I started to feel really sad, because it was the first student that had passed away that we had been able to work with. It's a bad deal. Many of you probably know him more than I do, a lot better than I do, and it wasn't good. But there was something about that day that I was okay with because I knew that Peter was in a better place. And so I didn't get to go to the service. I was outside. I heard about it. We went home and things are okay. We talked to Chip and Terry and they're struggling and dealing through things. But then a few weeks later, I hear that out of the blue that Butch dies. And I'm like, Butch is dead. I haven't even heard from him in a long time. And it just really surprised me. And it hit me hard, to be honest. It hit me really hard. Because I didn't have that same feeling that I had with Peter. I didn't have that feeling of, man, he's in a better place. Because I don't know. I know that the time that I have with him, the time that I had with him, the time that God appointed for me to be a good witness to him, I was not. I was not walking the talk. And I probably only confused him with the issue of Jesus or Christianity or what it means to have a relationship with him. And so I still, even to this day, regret what I did in those days. And so I've talked to in the very beginning about resolutions for 07. My resolution for 2007 is that I'm not going to confuse anyone as to who Jesus is to me or about what it means to be a Christian. I absolutely am setting out to not confuse anyone. And I started to look through my Bible and I talked to Bob and Tom and we looked through some stuff and I wasn't really comfortable with the things that they had said. And I started to read my Bible, and this is my Bible that my mom got me in, I believe, 1988. So this is a little bit of an older Bible, 18 years old, whatever. It's an older Bible. And I've got tons of stuff highlighted in here from when I was in the youth group and things like that. And I came across Ephesians 4. And so if you'd turn there with me, I'd like to kind of walk through with you for the next few minutes the way I'm going to process in 2007 my New Year's resolution. And I come up with acronyms all the time because for me, I remember things that are in acronyms. And if you agree with that, things easier to remember. We have habits. Okay, we have spiritual habits, which is hang time with God, accountability partner, Bible memorization, involvement in church, tithing, and scripture study. I know those. If I know I have to have habits, I know those things I should be doing. My shape, my spiritual gifts, hearts, abilities, personality, experiences. So for me, I like to work through acronyms. And I thought, you know, this Ephesians 4 thing, these verses that I have highlighted all kind of point to one thing, and that's that we need a new life. And so for this acronym this morning, and this is really just for me, to be honest. I've studied and done this whole sermon really just for me. And I hope that you can get something out of it as well. But here's what the L stands for in life. Okay? If we look at chapter 4, verses 17 through 24, we see a little section in there where it says, lay aside the old life. Let's read chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. I'm reading out of the New American Standard. And the heading here is the Christian's walk. It says, this I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. You see, when I was thinking through the idea that I had not lived the way I should have, I really identified with this, the way that it says the Gentiles lived. Sensuality, practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. That was me. and I knew Christ. And here Paul's telling the Ephesians that you shouldn't live that way. That's how the Gentiles live. You need to be set apart. You need to lay aside the old life. Lay aside the old life. And I started to think, okay, I looked through my Bible. Where does it talk about laying aside the old life? It says all kinds of stuff about that. And I went to the Message paraphrase to read what this passage said here. And I love the way it says this. It says, everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life. A life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces His character in you. You see, I can't live holding one hand onto my old life and my new life holding on with the other hand. I can't have it both. I can't be with my old friends and do the partying thing on this side of my life and on the other side of my life have the Christian friends and the Christian cool CDs and stuff like that. I can't do that. Because what happens when you try to do that, when you try to walk the fence? So many times you get pulled in the wrong direction. And the people that see you living your life don't see the good stuff you're doing. They see the bad stuff you're doing. And that's exactly the way I was living with Butch. I had not laid aside my old life. I needed to lay aside my old life. And the verse here talks about putting on the new self. Romans 6, Romans 12, Romans 13, Colossians 3 all talk about this new self that the verse talks about. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Okay, that's 2 Corinthians 5:17. You see, we have to put on the new self. We absolutely have to put on the new self. We cannot have one foot in the past and one foot in the future and live the same way. The next words that I thought of was the letter I, and that is imitate the Father. In Ephesians 5, 1 through 2, another thing that I had already highlighted in my Bible, something I was just reading through, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. The message here says, watch what God does. This is the same verse. Watch what God does and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents, mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. The reason I wrote imitate the Father is quite simply because it says be imitators of God. And in the life that I'm living right now, I am experiencing this like crazy because my kids imitate everything I do and say. And a lot of times they can get you in trouble. Just over this weekend, that got me in trouble with things that I've said and done. And Taylor will say something exactly like I've said it or has the same habits that I've done. Any of you gotten yourself in trouble by a thing your kid said that you got from that they got from you? Yeah. OK, I'm living right through that right now. And it's pretty funny to see that Taylor will say stuff that just to me seems like it comes out of nowhere. And she's remembered it from what someone said one time. And it wasn't necessarily bad, just a weird thing. And, you know, Brody will be crying and she'll come up to him and say, oh, it's okay, hunky boy. Because Lori calls him hunky boy. You know, why would she say that? There's no reason for her to say that other than she saw her mom doing that. And so as I started to process some of that, I thought, you know, we need to do that. As adults, we need to imitate our Father, not the opposite way. We need to imitate our Father in heaven and love like He loves. And as I was working through that this week, Lori got this CD. I actually got it for her, a CD. There's a song called Watching You. And it's a country CD. And the only reason I'm playing country CDs is because Bob's gone this week because he hates country music. And so here's what I'd like you to do. You might have heard this song. It talks about being a little buckaroo. And this song, I just want you to listen to. And it might offend you that it's a secular song or whatever, but I want you to kind of think of it through the vein of that we should be watching God, and that our kids are watching us, and the actions that we have, and our friends are watching us, and the lives that we live every day, sometimes they don't match up to what we say and we say to them. And so let's play a song and listen to that for just a few minutes, Steve, please.
Just my boy and me, with a Happy Meal in his booster seat, knowing that he couldn't have the toy till his nuggets were gone. A green traffic light turned straight to red. I hit my brakes and mumbled under my breath. His fries went a-flying and his orange drink covered his lap. Well, in my four-year-old said a four-letter word. It started with S, and I was concerned. So I said, son, now where'd you learn to talk like that? He said, I've been watching you, Dad, ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo, I wanna be like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. We got cowboy boots and camo pants, yeah, we're just alike, hey, ain't we, Dad? I wanna do everything you do, so I've been watching you. We got back home and I went to the barn. I bowed my head and I prayed real hard. Said, Lord, please help me help my stupid self. The next side of bedtime later that night, turning on my son Scooby-Doo nightlight, he crawled out of bed and he got down on his knees. He closed his little eyes, folded his little hands, spoke to God like he was talking to a friend. And I said, son, now where'd you learn to pray like that? He said, I've been watching you, Dad, ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo, I wanna be like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. We like fixing things and holding mama's hand. Yeah, we're just alike, hey, ain't we, Dad? I wanna do everything you do, so I've been watching you. With tears in my eyes, I wrapped him in a hug. Said, my little bear is growing up. And he said, but when I'm big, I'll still know what to do. 'Cause I've been watching you, Dad, ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo, I wanna be like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. By then I'll be strong as Superman. We'll be just alike, hey, won't we, Dad? When I can do everything you do, 'cause I've been watching you.
That song kind of brings the whole point home for me. That my kids watching me, number one, exactly like that song says, and that I should be watching my father. When the verse here talks about and love like he loves, that I need to be doing that. I need to be loving people like my father loves people. And so that's one of my resolutions, that I would love people sacrificially and imitate my father. The F stands for fill your time wisely. Ephesians 5:15 through 16, another thing that I had highlighted, I don't know when, it's cool the way this works out. It says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Now, fill your time wisely. The reason I say that is because a lot of time we have these bad habits and we spend time doing things that we shouldn't be doing. Okay, a lot of times we jump into our New Year's resolution and we say, I'm going to quit smoking or I'm going to stop eating candy or whatever. And you say you're going to stop eating candy, but you still leave the candy bowl on the counter. Okay, if you're going to do something like that, be smart about it and get the candy bowl out of the way. We've got to be wise about the way that we do things if we're going to make a change in our lives. We can't just throw our arms open and say, okay, whatever, God, just do it for us. We've got to be wise, and we have to be careful in the way that we walk, because if you're a junk foodaholic like I am, don't get near the candy aisle of the grocery store. Okay, we need to be wise. So fill your time wisely. And the last letter E, I don't have anything for. I'll be quite honest. I don't have anything for you on the E. And the reason I don't have anything for in the E is because for a week now, I've been struggling with what to put. Okay, at first, I'm not going to tell you what I had. I've had four different things, and God never really confirmed to me that I should put them up there. And so I said, well, God, I've got this thing. I've got to finish it. And He says to me, and I'm not that I hear Him, but I just start to get these thoughts. Well, don't put anything up there. Well, it's kind of a bad way to end a sermon, in my opinion. So here's what I've done, and I kind of feel like this is what God wants us to do together. The E can be any one of these E's. Okay? I'm serious about this. As preachers, the way that we do things normally is our points are normally action words because we want you to act on them. Okay, so if the L is lay aside, that's something you can do. You can lay aside your old self. Okay, so here's a bunch of E verbs that I want you to take a look at there for a minute. And I'll tell you in a minute what I was going to do. I wasn't real sure on whether they were going to work or not. So what I would love for you to do is in your own life, maybe choose something that fits your life. Because we're talking about your life in 07, and that's the acronym. It's your life, not my life. Now, I'm just sharing with you what I've been working through over the past month or so. And these are the things I want to do in my life in 07. And so why don't you take a second? You know, maybe you would say you want to elevate the Father. Or maybe you want to say you want to erase the past. But I want this to be personal for you, and maybe you'll write it down. Maybe this is where you make this your own sermon, and you become the preacher today. So just take a minute and decide, and maybe it's not one of these words, maybe it's some other word. Maybe you end your acronym differently. Just take a minute and figure that out for yourself. I might not have given you enough time, but it's 10 o'clock. So maybe that's your homework. I'll tell you what I had in my own life. I had expect God to move. Because so many times in my life, I think, okay, I'm going to do it. And I don't really expect God to do it. I don't expect God to do His part. I just kind of do what I do on my own and think that I'm going to get by. And I don't expect God to move when we don't expect God to move. At least when I don't expect God to move, He doesn't. And so that's what I was going to put. I was going to put some other stuff too, but I figured I'd let you finish your own because it makes more sense to you to do it. And so as the worship team comes up here, I just want for you to kind of take the things that have been said. Maybe it's just this E word, or maybe you didn't get time to do it. That's fine. We ran out of time. I talked about Butch too long or something. I don't know. But as we think about our resolutions, and 2007, and the year that just passed us, there's a lot of stuff that I regret in 06. And I'm not focusing on it. I'm not letting it bring me down. I'm not doing all that stuff, but I want to learn from it. I want to learn from the things that I've done wrong. And I know that in my life, I need a plan in order to fix things. I can't just say, okay, I'm just going to go fix them. And so this LIFE acronym is my plan for 07. And my resolution is that I not confuse anyone, absolutely anyone, about who Jesus is to me, about what it means to have a relationship with Him. I hope that you would have that as well. Yeah, maybe you have your own. I hope that you do. Let's pray. God, I love you.